Join with me in our prayer for understanding God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, you may hear with joy what you have to us today. Amen. I was going to change the words a little bit, but you guys read it as it was written. The first reading is Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it I saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I say, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of the family, my family, you did it to me. Our second reading is John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. The second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The word of God for the people of God.
Once again, good morning. I am indebted to Vonda Zedeker, the UMW president, as well as for my friend Jan Butler, who invited me to speak here today to celebrate UMW Sunday, and thank you for your hospitality, and I appreciate Pastor Jen loaning me her pulpit this morning. That was a big thing for her to do. Driving over the mountains, the foothills, as they are called, I thought I was going home. I grew up north of Amarillo where there's nothing. It's all flat, mostly barren, and the wind blows all the time. I left there when I was 18. So my question is, why all of you here? Sunshine, that's the main thing. Did I mention that I grew up in northern Texas? I think so. My life has been greatly enriched by growing up in a very small town, having my grandparents be a part of my life, and enjoying everything that small town life and my grandparents' farm had to offer. Those memories are a part of my legacy, my heritage. I have childhood memories that still bring a smile to my face, and in fact, we had a whole town reunion last summer, and there were 40 of us there. I have recipes from my mother, my grandmother, my aunts, and far more than that. From an early age, I was taught what Christianity was all about. Going to Sunday school and church every Sunday was an expectation. My mother said we dress for God on Sunday, and that's what we did. Our church was white with a steeple, and it had movie theater seats. Once a month, Mother volunteered to clean for Sunday. From the time I was about 4, I took my dust rag and the polish, and I would wipe and wipe and wipe, because there's lots of dust in northern Texas. Mother would vacuum, dust the pulpit and the organ, and clean the bathrooms. That was just what we did. And I love that church. Today, that church is gone. Nothing remains except an empty lot. But those memories can never be taken away. When there was a sickness or a new baby or a death, the whole town pitched in and brought food. My mother cooked up one of her specialties, but more than that, she helped by cleaning a house, sitting with someone, or even taking someone to the funeral home to make arrangements. Someone needed a house painted, but they couldn't do it themselves. My dad would paint it for them. He never charged anything. It was the least he could do. And I had a whole lot of grandmothers. These were the widows who lived in our town, and I loved to go to their houses. They always smelled like molasses cookies or chocolate cakes. If they needed something fixed, Daddy fixed it for them. He could fix anything. There were several of the men who added on a room for a friend who was in the hospital with a new baby. She didn't have enough room in her house. This was number 6. So they just built it while she was in the hospital. You know, back then they kept you forever when you had a baby. So they all worked together. And they got it done by the time she came home. These are nice reminiscences about my life, but you're probably thinking, they don't have anything to do with me. But they do. I grew up in a world that doesn't exist anymore. I regret that more than anything. But growing up in this Christian framework is my legacy. It is the fiber of my very being. One of the main things I learned is this. Everyone in that town was my neighbor, my brother, my sister. So today, who is my neighbor? Is it the person next door or the man down the street? You know, the one who has a cardboard sign that says, "Please help me, I'm homeless, family needs food, God bless." Is it the boy in the grocery store that has sign of a learning development? How about the woman who dresses in skirts so short she can't possibly sit down and frequents the bars and the seedy motels and rent rooms by the hour? Do you watch TV? On the news, or just part of it? Do you see the starving children and say to yourself, "This has nothing to do with me"? Or does it not inspire a single thought, much less a prayer? We watch the migrant crisis and the terrible living conditions they have in the camps in Europe. Do we watch the aftermath of a terrible mass shootings affecting our country like an epidemic and think, "At least it's not in my town"? The problem with drinking water in Flint, Michigan is affecting our most vulnerable children. And I pause because I wonder if this is the first time or the last time that this will happen. How many municipalities have infrastructure that is ancient? More than you want to know. Our highways, our bridges, our ancient buildings, our water, sewer, and gas lines are all aging. Our landscapes are eroding away because of water, fires, and illegal logging. These things are a part of our legacy as well. They came from the past and inherit our future and that of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We Methodists also had a hand in changing the landscape of the Native American population in the Arizona Territory. We tried to drive the Indian out of them and make them just like us as we ran a boarding school. Today, the United Methodist Church is trying to repent and reconcile with our Native American brothers and sisters. Did you know that there are more people being held in slavery today than at any other time in history? And when I say people, I mean men, women, children, and babies. They are being held for sexual perversion, forced labor, ransom, and more deviant reasons than any of us could ever imagine. And this too is part of my legacy. Our legacy. The legacy of all United Methodists. And we weep. I don't know if you've heard anything about them lately, but the United Methodist Church has something called social principles. How many of you know about the social principles? Okay, Pastor Jen, you're going to have a class on social principles. We are charged to take care of the earth that God has given to us and all of its inhabitants. We are called to be that people. This is our United Methodist Church legacy. This is what we've been taught since John Wesley set us apart to reach the common man where they were, on the streets, in the factories, night and day, no matter where or who. What kind of legacy are we going to leave? What are we doing to continue our legacy? Are we doing anything? Are we accomplishing anything? And by the way, God, who did you say my brother was? You know, I hope you're doing something to secure your legacy. But I know of one group that has been at the forefront of every issue gripping this country, and I am proud to say that it is the United Methodist Women. We will stand at the Super Bowl and every major event picketing for human rights, for the enslaved to go free, discouraging human trafficking and all of its degradation. This is going to be our legacy. We talked about the rights for Native Americans long before it pricked the conscience of others in our church. We fight for social justice. In 2019, we will be celebrating our 150th anniversary. We started in Boston, Massachusetts, in a blinding snowstorm, listening to two wives of missionaries talk about the need for women doctors and teachers for girls in India. By the end of that year, this group had secured enough money to send a female doctor and a female educator to India. And that was just the beginning. It is our fervent hope that our legacy continues for another 150 years as we continue to fight for social justice for women, children, and youth. What is your legacy going to be? May we pray. Loving God, who knows all that we are and all that we aren't, we pray that you give us the will to make a difference in our world. May we strive to be the Christians you call us to be and the United Methodists that John Wesley wanted us to be. Striving forward, never looking back, let us hear your still, small voice and become who you want us to be. Amen.